Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're with us. We want to thank the One Institute for bringing us to you each and every week. Very exciting stuff. Dr. Allen had a wonderful Monday and Wednesday night. So you won't be able to see those shows again until August. And we'll keep you updated. So if you have any questions about that, or any questions about any of the classes that's going on, you can go to www.drpatallen.com, or you can visit www.wantistore.com. But for now, we're on the air. Dr. Allen, you're live.
I'm glad to be alive, and I'm glad to be live on the radio.
So, what classes do you have coming up?
Classes this tomorrow, no, Saturday, I'm doing Getting to I Do, and I believe I'm doing Getting to I Do again the following Saturday. So, we're just plowing through the different titles, script reading, dream analysis, all very, very positive, and I love doing it.
So, Dr. Allen, let me ask you this. What is going to happen at that class on Saturday? What do we do in the Getting to I Do class?
What we're doing is we're going to go over, you know, I'm a scientist that teaches science for virtue. And
yes.
So instead of doing religious or political or theoretical, I just go to science and I show why we flirt. What is that? Why we don't have intercourse until we're in a committed, solid relationship? What are the negative signs of hooking up? What I do is I put the science into trends that are being practiced today destructively, oftentimes, you see?
Yes.
And the damage that does physiologically.
That's very interesting. So when your ladies come in, and this class is focused mostly on your female clientele right now, is that correct?
Say it again.
This upcoming class is mostly focused on female.
Yeah, it's just females. We do Getting to I Do for females.
So,
I am willing to do Getting to I Do for males, but we haven't gotten to that point yet.
So how does that work for males then, Dr. Allen? Because I have a question here from one of our male followers and fans who's saying, how does that work with Getting to I Do for the masculine energy or for the man?
Well, first of all, we're all masculine and we're all feminine. And the characteristics of masculinity is competitiveness, conquering, and controlling the situation. The characteristics of femininity in a relationship is passivity, not chasing. And passivity, patience, not rushing people. And the last thing is vulnerability to leadership. So I don't care if people are straight, gay, or lesbian, the energy movement has to be determined. And I have to explain why, scientifically, it's necessary. So I document virtue in science. You know, I love what Einstein said to the question, is there a God? And he said, there's got to be a God. Somebody created this. And that's the laws of nature. So I teach the laws of nature that I know, and I study every year at the American Psychiatric Association when I have to take my 38 class points to keep my license. And so right. with that in mind, I always go where science is being taught. I know philosophy is nice, and I know psychology is even better, and God knows we know religion is awesome, but politics is driving me crazy right now, and I'm sticking with science.
Well, that makes sense. I think it totally makes sense.
So not men always. Have a science. They're built differently than women are. And their science is competitiveness, conquering, and controlling. One of the things I really detest is school districts that are taking away first, second, third rank order in favor of everybody gets the same rank order because we don't want any little boys to be upset. That's The War Against Boys, which is a great book, by the way.
It's a great book, and one of the things that I think is interesting is now everybody gets a trophy, but here's the thing. What makes us strive for greatness? If everyone gets a trophy, what is the drive and the ambition for greatness?
It's like socialism for honor.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense because socialism doesn't really work. So, Dr. Allen,
it does make sense to people that want every human being to be identical to every other human being, and it isn't so. Men are men and women are women, and we're all on a continuum. Some of us are more masculine than feminine. Some of us are more feminine than masculine, but we are all both. And that's the 2,000-plus-year-old quantum physics study of yin and yang energy. Dr. Kim, Dr. Lee.
One of the things I think that is so incredible about human beings is how unique and diverse we are. While we have so many of the same biological issues, we have so many diverse personality traits that making everybody the same just doesn't seem feasible or correct.
That's right.
So are you ready to take some calls?
What?
Are you ready to take calls?
Always, forever.
All right. Okay. Well, I have our people telling me we've got some calls.
Correct.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Please turn down your radio.
Woohoo! I'm so excited. I'm phoning from Australia. I've spoken to Dr. Allen and called in a few times. It's my birthday on Tuesday, so I wish for my birthday that I get to speak to you guys.
All right.
So, question is a couple of things. I'm really having a difficult time getting over a breakup, and I know that Dr. Pat has suggested that, you know, obviously you've got to let them go, and I did the high buy letter and I sent that off, and he did come back, but not with a commitment, so I can't entertain that. And I'm still rather heartbroken about it, and I didn't recognise the ritual of his birthday because I was in too much pain and I feel quite guilty about that. And I just couldn't carry the guilt around anymore of not replying to him and ignoring the birthday. That I tried to open the door to a conversation and I sent an email. And I know it's the totally wrong thing to do. And I haven't had a response to that, so it's obviously payback or uninterested. But, yeah, I'm really having a tough time getting over this one. And I want to know what other things I could take into consideration to finally move on.
How do you move on?
Yes, Dr. Allen.
You start dating other people.
Well, I have been doing that, but I compare them all to him, and that's not good.
You do what?
She compares them to him, Dr. Allen.
What are you saying?
She's saying she compares all the new men that she dates to the old, the man.
That will occur for approximately 2 years.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So
the grieving rate for divorce or death is 2 years.
Oh.
And it is painful. Dr. Allen, it is painful, isn't it?
It is totally painful. If people knew how important it is to get a relationship built solidly on scientific virtue, they won't get damaged. In fact, one of the greatest things that I hear from clients is, my goodness, my goodness, he left me, but it was okay because I built solid and I knew when it wasn't working. So, you know, make haste is really destructive. Be careful on building.
That's so
you're gonna
true.
Have to live. What?
That's very true.
What will you do differently in your next attractive relationship?
Well, you'll be pleased to know I did go out with a guy on Sunday night, and he was really cute, and he was a perfect gentleman. He did nothing wrong, but I found out at dinner he'd had two ex-wives, and he had two teenage children, and I thought, I don't have any drama in my life, and I don't need to invite that in. If it's not divorce, that's not far enough removed for me.
And you found out the compatibility problem early enough to not mind saying next.
Exactly. And then he phoned me on Wednesday night and asked me for an erotic phone call. And I said to him, listen, I'm really concerned for you that you're driving the wrong way down one-way street. There is no room for a U-turn. So before you want to proceed with this conversation, you're going to have to think really carefully. I want someone that wants to spend time with me and get to know me, and when the feeling is mutual, I'm happy to discuss other things. But until that point, you've got rocks in your head. You're one of a dozen guys that I speak to, and I don't have time for that nonsense.
But I want you not to present it negatively, that nonsense. Okay. I want you to know that one of the assets of having a gay boyfriend is you don't have to put up with that nonsense.
Yeah. So
please, no critiquing. Men are built to look with their eyes to a healthy physical body, you know, and a sexual goal.
So you're going to be cross with me, because the thing that crossed my mind when I was, when he's proposing an erotic conversation is I'm thinking, you're not my ex-boyfriend that I want to be with. Why? How could I want to share anything of myself with you? That's actually what it was about. It was more about me wanting to be faithful even though I'm not with this ex-boyfriend, which is crazy. But I just don't want to share myself and open myself up to anything with anyone else. I just don't.
I don't want you to, but I do want you to duty date. Dating other people than the boyfriend that you've left or has left you, dead or divorced, and not judging. Please do not negatively judge sexual human beings. All you need to do is say thank you for the offer, or that's a nice idea if we're in a committed relationship, but it's a little premature for me now, but you have a right to have that.
Okay. Cool.
All right, will you do that?
I will do that, absolutely. And I just wish that I knew this before I started seeing the other person that broke my heart.
You're going to do better in the next one. Remember, we climbed the ladder. I loved the Dalai Lama. He gave a lecture and I saw the lecture, and somebody said pompously from the audience, what do you do with people that eat meat? And he said, there are many levels on the ladder of spirituality. If you're comfortable doing meat or doing this or doing that, do it. It's when you're uncomfortable that you say, I don't do that anymore. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So judge not what ladder step you're on. We're all on one or another. And don't judge.
Yeah. Thank you so much,
well, if
lady.
You do judge, what?
I'm just listening.
It's okay that you internally rule them out as potential, but don't put them down. That's the ladder of love that they're on today.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit bad, but I haven't heard from this guy again, and I probably won't now.
I know that.
But that's okay. I'm not disappointed. I haven't lost anything. I'd already decided he was too much drama, and I don't need drama.
I totally know that. There's nothing wrong, but don't say negative put downs to human beings that are trying to learn how to be sensual, sexual creatures.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's correct. Yeah. Good. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, ladies.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Call us back and update us. Bye. Very interesting, and it touches on what we were talking about unique individuals and where people are at. And you and I briefly talked about Eric Erickson and his thoughts on self-actualization.
Right.
So, very interesting. We are all moving up that ladder, hopefully moving up the ladder and not down the ladder, toward self-actualization. So, I want to give everybody the number 323-203-0815, and I want to remind you that we get a lot of people in line, and our really terrific guy at the station may have to call you back so that you're not just sitting there waiting on him or to get an answer. But he does call back in the order the calls are received. So please hang in there with us and be patient, because we sometimes get our switchboard gets really, really busy. So I'm going to go ahead and tell him we're clear for more calls. And so, Dr. Allen, we were talking about men, women, masculine and feminine. How does somebody figure out if they are the masculine energy or the feminine energy, or if they're just a plain, unabashed narcissist?
Narcissism is healthy if you're not a parent or you're not in a relationship. It's individuation and actualization. Carl Jung was very much into individuating intellectually, and Abraham Maslow was very much into actualizing, mm-hmm. be who you really are. So we're all individuating, and we're all actualizing, we're all masculine, we're all feminine, and we're clumsily staggering around the world trying to use one and another. For example, when I get clients that want to get related to somebody, I tell them, well, practice being yang, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Go after what you want, ask for dates, give gifts, whatever. And on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, be yin. Just look in the eyes and smile and see if they're yang enough to come towards you.
Right.
So practice being one or the other, but not both at the same time. That's called... you will not make it with the person you're with because you're a 10 and they're a 0. You have to pick what you'd like to do. Each relationship requires a vote of yin and yang.
All right. Now, you do have in your book, Getting to an I Do, is it a little test or a little questionnaire that helps
Absolutely.
People?
Absolutely.
We talk about that a little bit.
What?
Can you tell me a little bit about that? Can you explain that to me?
Well, the test asks for questions, in a situation. Do you want them to call you for a date, or do you want to call them? Well, narcissists say both. When I want to be called, I want to be called. And I want you, when I want to call, I'll call. The problem with that is, if you're in England, drive on the left side of the road, yellow line. And if you're in America, drive on the right side or you die.
Right.
So follow the same principle. Practice being yin and practice being yang. Women's Lib is fighting for women's rights to be equal at work. Women's Lib is fighting to have white blouses charged the same amount as a white shirt. So far, hasn't happened.
Right.
Too many people still think that you've got to be totally feminine at work, and then after work, you decide if you want to be feminine in your relationship or masculine. But you have to find out by practicing.
Right. I see.
And the test in the book, Getting to I Do, is simply to find out if you're a narcissist who wants to be a 10, and then you get to date people that want to be a 0.
Right. Which is a difficult road.
Believe me, there are a lot of people that want to be dominated. They don't want the responsibility of individuation and actualization. I recommend the book Toward a Psychology of Being by Abraham Maslow.
Oh, yes. Maslow is brilliant. All right. We've got a question online from and our Facebook people have been crying because we haven't been very attentive to them in the last few weeks. So let's take one of their questions. This lady says, a gentleman I work with has been flirting with me over the last 3 months, and I was hoping to get to know him and be friends, and hopefully that would lead to more. Today he said that he doesn't actually like me, but that shouldn't affect us working together. I felt very offended by this, and I was wondering how I could have gotten things so wrong, received wrong messages or signals. I've been following your cues of letting him lead, of smiling and not speaking first. I feel like he's angry that I haven't been chasing him. Do you think that's a possibility?
That's not only a possibility, it's a guarantee.
Oh, explain that, Dr. Allen.
Both female. Even in lesbian relationships, I have to have masculine one and feminine one. I have to.
Okay,
okay. There's something I found. One thing I found out about lesbian women is that they often change roles every couple of years. Whereas men tend to stay solidified in either top man, boss man, and bottom man, receptive man.
Ah. So
it's a very interesting exchange of energy. There are
very
three waltz. There are three dances. There's discoing. You can't tell who's dancing with anybody with discoing.
No, you definitely can.
Codependency is where somebody is dominating the other one and the other one is tripping. They're not compatible.
Mm-hmm.
The last one is waltzing. One Fred Astaire, one Ginger Rogers, and they go on about their business. But even they go into turmoil when they get in their 50s and the chemistry changes in their body. He goes off testosterone onto the estrogen in his body. She goes off the estrogen into the progesterone and testosterone in her body. So nature has set it up that one way or the other, we're going to mutate through both sexual components, masculine and feminine.
Very interesting. It is. We've got another one.
Evolution of Desire, David Buss.
David Buss. Okay, Dr. Pat, you say that men marry what? Virtue, not vaginas. That's why you say you're we shouldn't have right. intercourse. But the fact of them getting a hand job doesn't affect them thinking, doesn't it affect them thinking that we're easy and without virtue?
No, I consider hand jobs affection.
Okay, okay, that makes sense.
If you're comfortable with affection, some people are not comfortable holding hands. Honor right. whatever you are.
Right, public displays of affection.
The difference between that and intercourse, I had somebody call me today and say, why do you say that blowjobs are no? And I say, because it's intercourse. He's putting his penis in your mouth. That's intercourse. In fact, oral sex and anal sex are both total gifts to the masculine.
Right.
Vaginal sex is both people. She's being honored by the potential of being given a baby. I call that the God moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being gratified with his penis in her body. So intercourse in my world is serious business.
Yes.
Going down on you is pleasurable. Giving him a hand job is pleasurable. Hugging and kissing is pleasurable. But there's nothing like intercourse for getting pleasure and hideous amounts of pain, in that there are more people dying of misused sexuality, whether it's murder, whether it's suicide, whether it's physical illness. Misused sexuality is hideously vengeful on people that do not virtuously set standards for the behavior.
Very interesting. And it's also interesting, you actually answered the second part of her question with that, was why don't they bond to us if they're allowed to go down on us? And so I think you pretty much covered that.
It happens between 45 and 55, definitely by 60. Women become men between premenopausal and postmenopausal. Women are going male. Pre-andropause men, 45 under, and post-andropause men are going female. Who's driving the car when they're 55? She is.
Right. Right. She's in the driver's seat. So here's another interesting question. What does it mean when a man tells you, in a joking sort of manner, not to fall in love with him?
What he's doing is disclaiming. Now, you understand, I've been to Pat Allen, and I know that you're 25 years old, and I'm 50 years old, and I'm going to let you know that you're susceptible to falling in love with me through organic bonding of oxytocin. On the other hand, I am also at risk on falling in bondage with you because I'm in my 50s. And that's the older man and the younger woman. Both of them are chemically feminine.
Interesting.
And younger men and older women, toy boys, Madonna, J-Lo, all the girls, the cougar girls, will be going with young studs because they're very primitive sexually, and the older women are basically wanting good intercourse.
Interesting.
And you know what's really interesting? Mature men have to learn how to make love because sex is the game of young people, young men.
Yeah.
Women have to learn how to make love with men by being feminine, even when they're becoming chemically masculine. So bossy old ladies who very often turn to food for their sexual comfort and ruin their sexual bodies don't realize that age is also helping nature. The job of older women is in primitive jungle world to deflower the young studs into good baby maker lovers. The job of older men is often how to be the first line of training for young women. So a man who says, now look here, honey, I'm 50-something and you're 25. I want to warn you, go to Pat Allen. Read Getting to I Do, because you're in danger. I ask men to warn women not to have casual sex, even with them. And if the woman says, oh, I want to have it anyway, now she's assumed the responsibility.
Ability, exactly. Okay, we have another very interesting question. This lady says, I was married for 25 years to my husband. He left me and, but before he left me, he went on medication to increase his sperm production, fertility treatments, to see whether or not he would get another woman pregnant. I found this out later, and he actually did. As soon as he found out she was pregnant, apparently, he left me, filed suit for divorce, and now, after 10 years, he is stalking me on Facebook, sending private investigators to my house, and following me to my new job, and having people follow me to the other places I go. I've moved on with my life. I would have assumed he moved on with his life too, but now this sudden upsurgence is making me uncomfortable and even a little bit afraid. What is going on with him, Dr. Allen?
He made a mistake in believing that progeny was going to complete his world. Apparently, he was in love with you physically, mentally, and emotionally. And he made this intellectual decision to go with the woman to have a baby. And that's okay. Trophy babies are born all the time. Mm-hmm. But now he realizes his mistake and he wants to come home because he's truly in love with you. This is why premature and promiscuous sexuality can kill you, well, by one technique, the Takotsubo cardiomyopathy heart attack, which is the broken heart syndrome, if you want to Google it. Mm-hmm. And it's all about when you're betrayed or you betray someone, don't be surprised if the mistake will cause your heart to flood its lower chambers and trigger a heart attack, even when your heart was healthy. When you find out she won't take you back, or some broken heart syndrome phenomenon.
Wow.
So it's very, sex is very dangerous unless you know how to handle it. And I say you handle it virtuously.
Yes, that's amazing. It looks like we've got a call. I thought we had a call coming.
Please leave your message for 818-669-4823.
So she is saying in the follow-up to her question, do you think I have anything to be physically worried about from him? I'm actually afraid of him.
Well, I understand that. Does he have a track record of violence? If he does, go to the police, get a restraining order, but that doesn't stop us.
Doesn't stop a bullet. You're right.
Mm-hmm. So some people move away. Do whatever you have to do to protect your life.
Yeah, I agree. I hope she's listening tonight and is hearing what we have, what we're telling her to do. Okay, Dr. Allen, I want to ask you about a left-handed man and the rumination process. Can you tell me, if I'm understanding correctly, that the left-handed man may take longer to ruminate because his brain is wired slightly different? Is that true?
It takes the same 8 weeks. Rumination is a decision made on thinking, feeling. What elongates rumination is mind-altering chemicals that give you comfort for a little while, then put you back into sobriety and put you into stress. So drugs and addicts and sugar addicts and whatever often can ruminate ages longer, but it has nothing to do with right-handed or left-handed. Left-handed men, ambidextrous men, biologically gay men, are like women in that women, all women have a larger corpus callosum bridge between the two lobes in the brain. Left-handed, ambidextrous, biologically gay men have a larger corpus callosum, which allows think, feel. But there's no difference between the 8 weeks of rumination for men and the 8 weeks of rumination for women. That is simply a neurobiologically phenomenon.
Interesting. Okay, this lady says, I have a terrible habit of becoming prematurely monogamous. When I'm in duty dating mode, I'm trying not to do that. But if I like a man a lot, I tend to do so. And then I feel guilty and strange about my other duty dates. Dr. Allen, how can I stop myself from this premature monogamy that you talk about? What is it in me that makes me, like she says, immediately want to start picking out China pattern? What is that, Dr. Allen, that causes a person?
That means you're chemically more feminine. You bond easier. Remember, the chemistry that bonds is oxytocin, and that's stimulated by pheromones that you smell on him or her, which disallow you from feeling good about betraying those people. But the truth of the matter is, it's like, and you will date three people, and you will give each person three opportunities to become attached to you before you settle down with any new person. You have got to do it with discipline. You see, it's the same old drive on the right side of the yellow line in America and the left side in England, or you die. So you All have right. to date three men, three times each, and when you drop one, or they drop you, you've got to add a new person. That's what the rituals are that religions create, cultures create, you see, for meeting people and dating people and marrying people. I want to remind people that on June 26th in the New York Times newspaper, there is a wonderful article about signing the dotted line, which is the beginning of what I consider my generous gift to mankind, which is negotiate time, negotiate space, negotiate money, and above all, negotiate sexual and not sexual fun. That's the negotiation. Seeing it, it's been printed in an article, a long article, June 26, 2017, and its title is somewhat Getting Together and Signing on the Bottom Line.
That is very interesting, and it actually segues right into the next question we have. We have a lady here who says, my boyfriend slash fiance. Well, he was my boyfriend, but now he's my fiance. He's given me a ring. All right. So my question is, Dr. Allen, how do I open the discussion about our first year contract for our newlywed year? Do I do it now? Do I wait? What do I do? I'm confused.
You use one of the tools, the second tool. When you, darling lady, want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, you've got to say to your darling man, honey, I have a request to make of you. Are you willing, about us, are you willing to hear me? Is it convenient today, hopefully? Yeah, what is it? I realize you have the right to say no, but I really want to sit down now that you proposed to me and negotiate pre-engagement, pre-move-in, premarital, time, space, money, and play for compatibility's sake. What do you think about that?
That's a wonderful tool.
Say, oh, that's so unromantic. That's so logical. I've got news for you. It's the same as drive on the right side of the yellow line in America and the left side in England, or you die. So it's simply the way life is. Negotiate. Don't intimidate and don't seduce. Negotiate your wants. Yang, yang, yang. Negotiate your yins. Don't want, don't want, don't want. Women get what they want when they know what they don't want. Men get what they want when they have the chutzpah to ask for it and check your feelings.
Very good. We have another lady that says, in your book, you talk about renegotiating at a certain point in time in a relationship. But I feel like in my third year here that everything's going well. Is it necessary to renegotiate the contract if everything seems really good?
The first year of a relationship that is monogamous, continuous, and long-term, whether it's mating or marriage, is every 2 months, every 8 weeks, go over time, space, money, and play. This is chapter 14 in my book, Getting to I Do. The second year of the relationship significance is every 4 months, go over time, space, money, and play. The third year, do it once every 6 months. After that, do it once a year for life.
For life. And so even if everything seems great in the contract and negotiation.
Some of the worst messes are allowed to brew a long time.
Yes, definitely. Here's another question for you, Dr. Allen. This lady is saying that, oh, okay, that's very interesting. She's saying, we had a contract, him and I, and then we were negotiating using your tools. All of a sudden, she says, okay, she says they've been in a relationship for 6 years. All of a sudden, he's starting changing everything up. Things are getting strange, and I'm not quite sure what to do. I've tried using your communication tools and even your amigo talk, but he just keeps shutting me down.
What I'm hearing is your relationship is falling apart, and you may have to write a hi-bye letter to him.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
First paragraph, everything you like. Second paragraph, the pain of the change. Third paragraph, what you don't want in the relationship anymore. Fourth paragraph, what you want in the relationship. Fifth paragraph, thank you so much for the good times. And truthfully, thank you for the lessons I'm learning in how to take care of myself in this unbalanced relationship.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so that was the next question. This lady just said, how do I write the high boy letter? So you answered that, which was great. She's saying, do you have a book on that? And we don't actually have a book on that, do we, Dr. Allen?
No, but I talk about it. I mean, what is the book going to say? The same thing as I say.
Right, exactly.
This show is being podcast. They will play it again tomorrow, and you can listen to it whenever you need to.
That's right. It can be downloaded at the site and listened to even after our broadcast and our rebroadcast is over. They can find it at latalkradio.com, Dr. Pat Allen. So that is an excellent resource.
Have we dealt with all our call-in? Have we dealt with the write-in questions? Do you have any people on the phone?
No, our phones right now are not. I think that the station's having a problem. So we're going to go ahead and take one last Facebook question here.
All right.
This lady says, I am in a committed monogamous relationship with a medical doctor who is a
I didn't hear the long term monogamy, continuity, and longevity. Too many women don't say they want to marry, and too many men don't get to say, I don't want to marry, and that blows the relationship to pieces.
Oh, I understand that. But she's not saying that in her question. All she's saying is this. We're engaged to be married, and he's not engaging with me on the planning of the wedding. Furthermore, he's a gynecologist, and I find myself feeling a little bit strange about what he does for a living every day. And I want to know how I can work past that, Dr. Allen. I love this man, but seriously, he's in women's vaginas every day, and it's bothering me.
I understand that, and I have actors and actresses that get all bent out of shape when they see their loved ones making out with other people. And I say, well, if his career is so bad that you can't be with him, he deserves a more appreciative person, or she does. See, we all go through the parts we like about each other and the parts we don't like about each other. And the only way we stay with human beings, everybody out there, I promise on my honor to cherish or respect the person I'm with, even when I know I'm smarter, could do it better. You see, you've got to know the one thing about your partner that makes his ugliness valuable.
Okay. All right.
You know
I'm getting a message from the radio station, and they are saying, let's take a caller. It's okay to go over our time. All right. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hello. I have a question. My question is, will sending a high buy letter before the 8 weeks will affect in a negative way? Like if I were pursuing
a
guy or something like
that? That's you rejecting. If you send the high buy letter earlier than the 8 weeks, everybody has 8 weeks to ruminate, to make a decision having to do with their logic and their feelings. If you send the high buy letter earlier than 8 weeks, the day after the 8 weeks is over, you are aborting the relationship.
Because
got it?
Yes, because I sent a letter to a guy after 10 days or something that we were talking, but it ended up being like a high buy letter, actually. It was not my intention in the beginning, but the thing is that he couldn't open it for some reason. So I felt bad after sending it, and I don't want him to read it, and I don't want to send it again because I felt bad. So I said, well, I will send it again, but I don't want, I mean, is it disrespectful to just don't do that and don't send it? Because I don't know how to tell him that I actually made a mistake and I don't want to send it.
If you changed your mind about saying goodbye to him, write him a love letter.
I write what? Sorry?
A love letter.
If you changed your mind about leaving him, write him a love letter.
I'm not leaving him. He's the one that he said he's dating me, and he tried to have intercourse, and I said which one were my requirements. So he said he was afraid of getting into a relationship, and because he's going through a separation.
He told you that he was not serious about building a relationship. That's honesty. You get to accept it or you get to reject it, but he has a right to be that way.
Yeah. So what about the letter that I was writing? Because I was trying to answer some questions he asked me day that
Leave that to reality.
He has to?
Okay.
He has
forget about
say it again. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
She didn't hear you, Dr. Allen. Go ahead.
What?
She didn't hear what you said, Dr. Allen.
What I'm saying is forget about the bad letter that's stuck somewhere in the machine. Forget about it. Mm-hmm. Don't make it aware. Mm-hmm. Don't make him aware of it. Let him find it, and then you can explain it.
So just forget about the letter and don't say anything.
Forget about the letter. There's nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just don't do anything. Don't say anything. Just forget. Okay. Okay. Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Good luck, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
Dr. Allen, what have you got to say tonight before we say goodbye?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Awesome. All right, everyone. Follow us on Facebook and don't forget to sign up for the newsletter at www.drpatallen.com. You can find all kinds of information and classes to sign up for, plus our wonderful products, including Dr. Allen's new book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, at wantistore.com. And, of course, you can find our other products at Amazon. We love you all. We'll be back next week. Take care.
Bless you.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.